today as we come to the table.
In our heart, we're not really serving the Lord or walking right with the Lord the way we're supposed to, like the brothers of Joseph were doing here. And it's a warning to us not to live outwardly one way and live inwardly another way. As you know, that's called hypocrisy. And again, it comes from the word hypocrite, which again, remember in the plays back in the Greek days and the Roman days, they would wear these masks for their different scenes and they would put this hypocrite on. The mask was called a hypocrite. You'd put the mask on, you'd wear it. If you're a happy scene, it'd be a happy face. If it was a sad scene, it'd be a sad face. And the Bible tells us to be warned against that, not to put on a face, showing ourselves to be someone outwardly, but not being who we're supposed to be on the inside.
Are you going through the motions of being a Christian? Do you have on your good Christian mask? You know the right words to say and how to act that makes it look like you're a good, faithful Jesus follower, but in reality, your heart's not in it? God doesn't want you to look good. He wants your heart to be fully committed. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In his message today, we'll have you take a look at your life and be honest with yourself. Are you being faithful to God in your heart? God doesn't want you to do a lot of great works and not be in love with Him. You can raise your hands and sing at the top of your lungs, but God wants your devotion to be truly deep. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 37, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Genesis chapter 37. As we continue on looking at the life of Joseph and working our way through the book of Genesis, why don't we read it together? We left off in verse 11, so let's read verse 12, and we're going to go all the way from 12 to the end today. And so let's read it all together from 12 to the end. Notice it says, "Then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. And so he said, well, here I am. And he said, please go and see if it's well with your brothers and well with the flocks and bring back word to me. So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron and he went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him and there he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, what are you seeking? And he said, well, I'm seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they're feeding their flocks. And the man said, well, they've departed from here, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. And then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him in some pit. And we'll say some wild beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. But Reuben heard it and delivered him out of their hands and said, well, let us not kill him. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, but cast him in this pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers, they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into the pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no more water in it. And then they sat down to eat a meal and lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing spices, balm, and myrrh, and on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he's our brother and our flesh. And his brothers listened. And then Midianite traders passed by, and so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. Then Reuben returned to the pit, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit. And he tore his clothes and returned to his brothers and said, the lad is no more, and I, where shall I go? So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats and dipped the tunic in the blood. And then they sent the tunic of many colors and they brought it to their father and said, we have found this. Do you know whether it's your son's tunic or not? And he recognized it and said, it is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces. And then Jacob tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his waist and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and the captain of the guard. Let's pray. Father, once again, as we look at Joseph's life, God, and we see his brothers betraying him, Father, I pray that you would remind us that you are a God who never betrays. Lord, you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. God, if we're feeling left or forsaken or betrayed, that you would encourage us and strengthen us, God, and you would teach us to be men and women of character like Joseph was, that even when these things happen, and they often do in this world, Lord, that we will continue to be faithful to you and trust in you to use it in our lives. So God, I pray you would open your word to us now. Teach us and instruct us as we seek your face through your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today we look at the betrayal of brothers. Remember, we saw how Joseph's brothers rejected him as their ruler. Remember, he had these dreams, and in the dreams he said, "You know what, I had these dreams, and all you guys bowed down to me." And that didn't go over too well. I mean, they were like, "What are you talking about, bow down to you?" Then again, they had more dreams. He had another dream, and this time his father and his mother and all of them were bowing down. And his dad said, "You mean we'll bow down to you as well?" And of course, he was upset, but he said, you know, he held these things in his heart. He realized, you know, there seemed to be something different about these dreams. It might be, indeed, that God's going to do something special in Joseph's life. And we saw that they rejected him as their ruler. Even as Jesus was rejected by his brethren, the nation of Israel, remember now they rejected Joseph to be ruler over them, their brother. And today we're going to see beyond rejection, there was betrayal. You know, betrayal by a brother is probably the most painful of all wrongs that one can experience. And the reason being is we understand when the world betrays us, but when a brother, when someone close betrays us, you know, then it can be a bad situation. I heard a pastor sharing about, you know, when his kids were little, he had a little boy and a little girl, and he would bathe them at the same time there in the bathtub, and he was bathing them both in the bathtub at the same time. Maybe some of you had that when you were little kids. And said he looked at his little girl and said, "Honey, do you need to go to the potty?" You know, because he would make sure they would potty, you know, before they got in the tub or after they were in the tub, if they looked like they needed to. And she looked kind of fidgety. So he said, "You know, do you need to go to the potty?" And she said, "No, Daddy, that's all right. I already went before I got in the tub." And so he turned to her little brother and said, "Well, honey, now do you need to go potty?" He said, "No, Daddy, I already did potty in the water." And the look on her face, he said, was a look of horror and betrayal. It's like, "You mean to tell me that all this time?" And he said, "You know what? I never go to the potty, Daddy. I always do it when we get in the tub." And she realized at that moment, this whole time I've been taking baths in my brother's potty. And the betrayal, he said, the look of betrayal on her face was just horrific, you know. And I thought, what a beautiful example of betrayal. I mean, this, it's horrible. The one you should trust the most, you know, betrays you. And so again, she was betrayed by her brother. And so sometimes we get betrayed by brothers. And today we're going to see that Joseph was betrayed by brothers, even as Jesus was betrayed by his brothers. Again, we'll see this beautiful picture of Jesus in Joseph's life continue to develop as we go through this passage today. Notice in verse 12, it says, "Then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem." Now, the dreams are done. Now the scene changes. They go to feed their flocks in Shechem. And notice it's interesting that God called Jacob's family out of Shechem. Remember, Shechem was the place that God said, come out of. Leave Shechem behind. It's a worldly place. It's an ungodly place. And come to the place that I'm going to tell you. Now we see them going to feed the flocks and going to none other than Shechem. Going back to the very place God called them out of. And I think this is significant because I believe it reveals what was going on in the hearts of these brothers. And that is they were in rebellion to God. They had backslidden. Not only were they going back to Shechem, they were going back toward the world. And we're going to see this theme develop as through this whole story as they turn away from the God of Abraham. And we know that's the case because of what they do to their brother. And you couldn't be with your brother and do to your brother what these men do if they had not backslidden away from the Lord. And so now we see them going back toward Shechem and really again revealing their hearts and their rebellion to God. And again, we're going to see the consequences of this as the story unfolds. Notice verse 13, "And Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem?" Again, no doubt they had told him they were going to go to Shechem, and he didn't give any objection, but I think it was revealing a place they were headed in their heart beyond a physical spot. He says, "Come, I will send you to them." So he said, "Well, here I am." And now we see Joseph making himself available to his father to go and check on his brothers. Now, this is interesting in that note the contrast now the Holy Spirit is making between the brothers of Joseph and Joseph. And that is, the story starts out with them going towards Shechem. And although they were going towards Shechem literally, in a physical sense, I do believe there's a spiritual insight the Holy Spirit is revealing to us because of what they later do. But what I find interesting in contrast to that is, notice Joseph. Here are the brothers in rebellion to their father, as we'll see later, as they lie to him and deceive and all these things. And here's Joseph saying, I'm available. If you want to use me to be sent, I will go. It's almost as if in Isaiah, remember when God called him, he said, here I am, send me. And now we see the father, if you will, calling Joseph, and Joseph saying, here I am, send me. And it shows the heart of Joseph being willing to submit to the father, whereas his brothers were in rebellion to the father. So quite a contrast here as this story begins to unfold. It is interesting to me as well, because I do want to point out here, note this, these were brothers who had made a profession of faith in the God of Abraham, if you will. They were doing the right things outwardly that the father would expect to see them doing, but inwardly their heart was wrong. And what a warning this is for us as believers. What do I mean? Well, you see, they were going to feed their father's flock. We would say today they were going to church. They were being about their father's business, but the problem was they were in rebellion in their heart. And the warning to us as believers is this: let's make sure that we're not just doing our duty, that we're not just going to church on Sunday morning and maybe even serving in a ministry, but in our heart, we're really in rebellion to the Lord. In our heart, we're not really serving the Lord or walking right with the Lord the way we're supposed to, like the brothers of Joseph were doing here. And it's a warning to us not to live outwardly one way and live inwardly another way. As you know, that's called hypocrisy. And again, it comes from the word hypocrite, which again, remember in the plays back in the Greek days and the Roman days, they would wear these masks for their different scenes, and they would put this hypocrite on. The mask was called a hypocrite. You'd put the mask on, you'd wear it. If you're a happy scene, it'd be a happy face. If it was a sad scene, it'd be a sad face. And the Bible tells us to be warned against that, not to put on a face, showing ourselves to be someone outwardly, but not being who we're supposed to be on the inside. And now we see these brothers, if you will, doing this, being hypocrites before their father, before their brother, and before God in heaven. And we're going to see the results of it. And of course, they're going to suffer the consequences for it as we move on down the road. But now Joseph, again, no hypocrisy. His heart is right. He's there. Here, what do you want to do with me, Father? I'm available to be used. And what a great place for us to say to our God, to our Father, Father, here I am. Send me. You have a work you want to do. I'll do it. And I'll do it with the right heart. You know, I'll do it the right way. And so Joseph's ready to go. And he said to him there in verse 14, please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me. So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him, and there he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what are you seeking? And he said, well, I'm seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks. And the man said, well, they've departed from here, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now, interesting that Joseph found them in Dothan. Remember, we talked about how the Holy Spirit has written the Bible. The Holy Spirit has written the Bible in such a way that every word has meaning and is important. Every name meaning, every place meaning. And for those of you that will be students of the Bible and will do the digging to find out the word meanings, you're going to find extra riches in the Word of God. And it's interesting because we get further insight into what we already know is going on in the hearts of his brothers. And that is, Dothan literally means two wells. Now, why does that give us further insight into why Joseph would find them in the place of two wells? Because that's exactly where they were in heart. You see, they were trying to say they were drinking from the well of God, doing the Father's work, following the Father, the God of Abraham, if you will. But in reality, they were drinking from the wells of the world. Their hearts had turned away from God. They had two different wells in their life. And the Bible warns us we need to be drinking from the wells of God, not from the wells of the world. And whenever we mingle the two, we become lukewarm. You see, the well of God is hot. The well of the world is cold. And when you mix those two together and drink from both of them, you become lukewarm. And remember what Jesus said in Revelation about the lukewarm believer. He said he will spew them out of his mouth. Now, it's a rather graphic picture there in the language. And it gives a picture of someone literally vomiting. I hate to be so graphic, but the Lord is the one who used the word. And the bottom line is, God says, I would rather you be hot or cold. He says, because if you're not, if you're lukewarm, if you're drinking from the well of the world and trying to drink from the well of the church, he said, you're defiled. He said, you've got to do away with one and be in one or the other. And it's interesting. He goes on there in Revelation and says, I'd rather you either be completely in the world or completely in me, but not in the middle. The middle's devastating because the middle paints a picture to the world that God accepts the way we're living in the world. And God says, I don't want the world seeing you as my representative saying, I accept that. That's okay. You can live like the world and live partly in the church. He said, I want the world to see my followers as living for me. And so there's this thing where God says, if you're going to go and be lukewarm, just go ahead and jump into the world. And it's kind of a strange picture of God almost saying, you know what? You're not going to do it all out. Don't do it. And then this other side, he says, but what I want you to do is be on fire for me. Get into the wells of God. And now we see the brothers of Joseph here at Dothan, at the place of two wells, drinking from the well of the world, trying to drink from the well of God. And the problem is, it simply doesn't work. And we need to warn ourselves that we're not doing that. Warn ourselves against that so that we don't find ourselves facing the consequences his brothers did and in the state that his brothers were in. Notice he finds them there at Dothan. Again, I believe revealing their hearts. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. And then they said to one another, look, this dreamer's coming. It's interesting. It literally means this master of dreams. They're mocking him. You know, they're saying, oh, this master of dreams is coming. Ooh, you know, here comes Mr. Dream Master, right? You know, and so we better bow down. It's like, no way. And so you see this mockery building in their hearts as he's coming closer. He said, come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit. And we shall say, some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dream. So, you know, again, notice how far they had gone. Not only just mocking him, but they're ready to kill their own brother. Now, even in the world, that's a stretch. But among those who were followers of the God of Abraham, amazing how far they'd fallen, how far they had backslidden away, if you will, from the things of God. And now in their jealousy and their anger, they say, you know what, let's just do away with him. We didn't even want him around. But notice this, I love it. But Reuben heard it and delivered him out of their hands. Now, why would Reuben do this? Again, remember, Reuben was the one that should have been the most threatened because Joseph was taking his place. Reuben was the firstborn. And yet we see some level of integrity or conviction in Reuben's life because Reuben was the firstborn. He realized he was accountable to dad for his other brothers. And now we see that sense of responsibility in Reuben's life saying, wait a minute, we can't do this. This is our brother. We need to spare his life. And of course, Reuben realizes that they are bent on destroying him. So he's not going to come out and try to talk them out of it. He's going to give a different plan until he can rescue Joseph from their hands. Notice he said, let us not kill him. And that is, let us not kill him. But notice they're going to plan on letting him die. Not Reuben, but the others. And Reuben said, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit which is in the wilderness. And do not lay a hand on him that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. So his desire was to put him there, sneak back later, pull him out, and get him back to his dad so that he would be okay. But he knew his brothers wouldn't buy getting him out of putting him to death. So he said, look, let's don't kill him. Our hands won't shed blood, but put him in the pit and we'll let the pit kill him. Now, they're the ones killing him. They're responsible. But notice how they're trying to ease their mind and get out of it. Let the pit take care of it. That is, there's no food. There's no water. Joseph will eventually die. And so he's giving them another plan to kill him without their hands actually doing it. And again, we're going to see they don't really go for it. Although they go for it temporarily, they decide to go ahead and get rid of him and do another thing. Notice verse 23. So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. They no doubt enjoyed doing that because they hated the symbol of authority he was wearing over them. Then they took him and cast him into the pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. Now, this is interesting. Again, no doubt the dry season over in that part of the country, it'll rain for 6 months on, then be dry for 6 months. And so what they were doing was they threw him in this pit. It was dry. And without any water, he would die very rapidly. Without food, you can live, you know, a little bit longer. Without water, some people die as soon as, you know, 7 days, some sooner. And so, again, they realized that, well, we'll kill him anyway. We'll just let nature take its course without us having to bring our hands against him in blood. And they throw him in the pit. And notice again how hard their hearts really were. Notice verse 25. It says, and they sat down to eat a meal. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had just taken my brother and thrown him in a pit where he was going to slowly die, I don't know that I could sit down to eat a meal. Not unless my heart was extremely hardened. And now we see the extent to where their rebellion had gone, their hardening heart before the Lord, and they sit down to eat a meal. And notice, then they lift up their eyes and they looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, and myrrh, and on their way to carry them down to Egypt. Again, just showing how hard their hearts were, and now they see this caravan coming along as they're eating, and notice they're going to devise a plan. So Judah said to his brothers, well, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? In other words, that's not going to get us anything. Come, let us sell him. You know, hey, at least we'll get some money out of the guy. Let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brothers listen. So he comes up with a plan and says, hey, let's make some cash off of him. You know, back then they sold people into slavery. And so again, he says, let's just sell him and get some cash. And now not only are we not guilty of killing him, he's alive. Man, we'll make some money, guys. Let's go for it. Then Midianite traders passed by, and so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. Now, again, you'll notice these traders here are referred to as Ishmaelites and also Midianites. And why is this interesting? Well, probably the caravan was made up of both. It was probably a caravan of Midianites and a caravan of Ishmaelites. And this was not unusual for different peoples to travel together in that day. Again, you would travel in larger groups because you would be protected, especially if you were transporting goods, you know, balms and spices and things you were going to sell. These were businessmen. They were traders going down to Egypt to sell their wares. And so the more you had with you, the more protection you had because there were robbers along the way and this kind of thing. And also, it's interesting that the Ishmaelites and the Midianites were both direct descendants of Abraham. So they were, in a sense, brothers. And so this would have been a very normal situation for them traveling together. And so that's why you see the mention of both of them being there. And so they sell Joseph. They pull him out of the pit. They sell him, and they take him on down now to Egypt. And notice then Reuben returned to the pit, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit, and he tore his clothes. Now you can imagine. He made this plan to come rescue his brother, and he goes back to the pit, and what happens? He's gone. And so he panics. And notice here again in verse 30, it says, and he returned to his brothers and said, the lad is no more. In other words, what have you guys done? And no doubt they told him what they'd done. And he said, and I, where shall I go? In other words, I'm responsible for him, guys. When I go back to dad, what am I going to tell dad? You guys aren't the oldest one. You're not the one. Certainly you're responsible to a degree, but I'm the one here that's in big trouble. You didn't even include me in this. Why didn't you let me know what you were going to do? And I can imagine the conversation and kind of picture the scene of what was happening as they were interacting in this. And notice they said, all right, well, wait. Let's come up with a plan. Just relax, Reuben. Take it easy. We'll come up with a plan that'll deceive dad, that'll make everything seem okay, and then we'll all be fine. And so notice what they do, verse 31. So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the tunic in the blood. Get his tunic, dip it in blood, make it look like he's been attacked by a wild beast. And then when dad sees it, dad will think anyway that he's been killed by a wild animal. And then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, we have found this. Do you know whether or not it's your son's tunic? Now, of course, they knew that this was his tunic, and they knew what they had done. But it's interesting to me here, they choose to go to their father and deceive him. And what's even more interesting to me is the method in which they decided to deceive him. Mark, what do you mean? Here's what I mean. Does this bring back any memories? Remember Jacob, their dad, what he did to his dad years before. When he was trying to steal the birthright from Esau, what did he do? He and his mother conspired together.
Isn't it interesting that it only took a couple of chapters in after God created everything for mankind to find a way to rebel? This is human nature, isn't it? Throughout history, God has something great in mind, but people find loopholes and do things their own way, rebelling against God. Something that's striking in the book of Genesis is that God remains faithful even when mankind does not. God keeps his promises when it would be impossible for anyone else to do so. What an amazing God we serve. Pastor Mark has been working his way through the opening book of the Bible, and there's so much more to gain from it. Come to the Table is a radio ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're enjoying these teachings, head over to thewaymedia.net to hear more. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. While you're there, if you have any questions or comments about today's message, we'd love to hear them. Just look for the questions and comments link. If you're ever in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love for you to drop in and see us. You can find service times and locations on thewaymedia.net. Scroll to the bottom of the page and find a link to Calvary Knoxville. We have several service times that could accommodate whatever type of schedule you have. We're so thankful that you've joined us today, listening to Pastor Mark's thoughts and insights on the book of Genesis. There's more to learn and appreciate from the beginning of the Bible on. So come next time, grab your Bible, maybe a cup of coffee, and be ready to understand the great things God has for you to learn the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.